Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In 1946, we probably thought that the teen years were 13 to 18. But today, the teenage years really goes to about 10, 10 and a half when puberty is starting, all the way through 22, 23, maybe even 24.
All right, let's not get panicked. We're going to look at the situation calmly and objectively.
It's not easy being a teenager. It's even tougher being the parent or a grandparent of one. If you're looking for some keys to raising great teenagers, you have come to the right place. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and during the next half hour or so on the broadcast, we're going to talk about some keys to raising great teenagers. These are tips that you'll find in Jim's book, Teenology. You'll also find them all over the ministry of Homeward. As a matter of fact, for the past going on 30 years, Homeward has been focused on helping parents and grandparents with teens and preteens, or tweens as they call them now, and the different issues. That landscape continues to move, and so we try to keep moving along with it. We can do so because of your faithful prayers and financial support, and if you'd like to give a gift online in support of our ministry, you can do so through our secure website at homeward.com. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Roger Marsh here in the interview chair today because Jim is our guest. Jim is the expert on so many different youth topics, and now you have a brand new book out. That is it safe to say this book kind of encapsulates everything that you've put together in 30 years of youth ministry, Jim?
Well, it's youth ministry. You know, we've written other books on marriage and other things, of course, but when I finished the book, I had almost an emotional experience because it was on helping parents help teens, and I've spent my entire adult life caring a lot about teens. Not always easy during our teen years with our kids, not Kathy's and my being teenagers, but the teen years with our girls, because we thought it was going to be simple because I had been in youth ministry and loved teenagers, still do, just spoke to a whole high school just recently. But the truth was is that it was a difficult time. It was a time when our kids were moving from dependence to independence. They were pushing some boundaries. It came as a surprise to us. So, you know, this has been long awaited book because I wasn't going to write the book until I got through my kids' teen
Make
years.
Make sure it all worked out.
And it's been a great experience, and I love the result.
Well, the book we are talking about is called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. And Jim, I know that in our generation, we've always thought in terms of teenagers, but the term teenager hasn't always been with us. So give us a little bit of that, the history of the term teenager.
Well, actually, 1946, Popular Science magazine, I mean,
that's one of my favorite parenting magazines, actually, is Popular
Science. Popular Science, isn't that funny? But, you know, we sure picked up on that word, of course. And interesting enough, in 1946, we probably thought that the teen years were 13 to 18, which was actually how I learned it when I was at Princeton in the 1970s. But today, the teenage years really goes to about 10, 10 and a half when puberty is starting, all the way through 22, 23, maybe even 24. We call those the latent teen years or emerging adulthood. And so the teen years are more complicated than they've ever been before. And kids are experiencing things at a younger age than ever before, and some of the negative stuff. So, you know, parents are out there a little bit lost with their teens these days. And I thought I could kind of come alongside them and be a gentle, you know, nudge to them to make some good and right decisions in their parenting, but also understand this teenage culture because it's a different world.
And when you say teenage culture, I think it's important for us to remember that as I was just thinking about the ramifications of kids who get older, younger, and then stay younger longer. If those of us who are parenting thinking, wow, 18 is the finish line, if I could just get them through high school, if I can just get them to college, then I'm going to get a chance to kind of see them off into adulthood. But from what you just said, it's like we have to retrain our parenting style.
Well, we do. I mean, at younger, because we wouldn't talk to kids about sex and sexuality until maybe 13, 14 years old. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
The moment there's puberty, there needs to be some pretty strong conversations about sexual systems and things like that. And of course, obviously, if we're talking about sex, we have to talk with our kids through dialogue at even a younger age. But then it's that older thing. You know, my daughter Heidi graduated from college this last year, Roger, and the person who was speaking did a great job. And they said about 80% of these college students are moving back home.
Oh,
and
no.
There was a groan, not from the kids, by the way.
From the parents.
But from the parents going, are you kidding me? so many of the parents were folks who were getting married at earlier ages and things like that. So, you know, it is a bit more complicated, and you have to deal with all the issues of the teen years. They're going through experimental phases. How do you discipline a teen? Do you control their behavior? Do you coach their behavior? There's just so many different questions that, you know, we had to get brought up on, as well as some of the big stuff. You've got bullying is huge today. So we had to talk about bullying. We have to talk about eating disorders, cutting, you know, some of the tension stuff. But basically what I was trying to do was create a book and a message that would give parents an idea on, you know, just how do you move from parenting your kids when they're younger through these teenage years so that they can become responsible adults, and I would add, who love God.
Hmm. Well, we're talking today about the brand new book from Dr. Jim Burns called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, and we're talking about some keys to doing so. In chapter one, Jim, one of the first things that you put out here, you've got a quote that I love, and I want you to comment on it, because there are so many different people who, in the parenting season, I mean, it's safe to say this generation of parents is hands down the most involved, I mean, hands-on, interactive, helpful group of parents that this country's ever seen. And yet, your quote is so powerful because kids are kind of feeling a little bit of pressure from parents. You say, no teen ever becomes a responsible adult if their parents carry the load for them.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times parents have the monkey on their back with homework or with faith issues or relationship issues. And so I see a lot of unhealthy moms, and I see a lot of unhealthy dads, probably more unhealthy moms, frankly, and I'm not burning on the female gender here.
Yeah.
But unhealthy because they're so involved in every emotion and drama, and that's part of the teenage years. You got to take the monkey off of your back as a parent and place it on your kids' back so that they can fail, or that they can struggle, or that they can grow and become that responsible adult. And for a lot of people who are kind of the control freaks, that's not an easy thing to do.
You say that in talking about that taking the monkey process, one of the keys to raising great teenagers is correcting behavior without crushing character. And I think sometimes you hear from parents who say, wow, I don't want to come down too hard on my kids. I really don't want to, you know, I don't want to break their spirit, if you will, by crushing the, you know.
Well,
that.
We break spirit by yelling, screaming, hitting, demeaning them. But we don't break spirit by having healthy boundaries and expressing expectations. So I think we've got to express those expectations. And we can't be our kids' best friend. I mean, in the teen years, you know, those of us who wanted my kids to like me. And I would say some of the times they did. A lot of the times they did. We had good relationships because in other parts of the book, we talk about spending time with your kids and playing with your kids and whatnot. But the truth is that there are times when we just simply have to focus on that character. And by focusing on their character, not just are they going to make a lot of money or get good grades, but focusing on character issues, there's times when we're going to typically butt heads. But you don't do it by yelling and screaming and shame-based parenting. You do it by literally coming alongside your kids and focusing on their character. You crush their spirit when you almost abuse the relationship that you have with them as an adult.
You say that actually in chapter two of the book, I'm quoting here, don't argue with your kids.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you're talking about here is that might sound counterintuitive to parents, but it's really to build them up.
Right. Well, I don't think we should argue with our kids. I don't think you battle them all the time. Homes where there's lots of battling, the kids will rebel. But I think you basically have to have the authority. If you're going to battle them, and there will be battles, you win the battle. But you don't argue in our home. And we learned this with our oldest daughter, who liked to argue. Christy loves to argue. But when she was probably 13 or 14, a good friend of ours said, I've found that in my own home, arguing really never worked. And Kathy and I had this, you know, kind of a come to Jesus moment where we said, we're arguing too much with her because we're trying to help her understand things and whatnot. And we said, we're not going to argue anymore. And we simply said, here's the way it is. And if she wanted to discuss as almost a young adult, fine, we'll have a discussion. But we said, nope, there's a no argue rule. I think that has helped a lot of parents. I've talked about this for years now. They said, wow, I just thought we were supposed to, you know, keep on arguing. Well, you know, Christy is a better arguer than I am or Kathy is. She was going to win the argument. And frankly, it wasn't about that. It was about, again, building character and helping her become a responsible adult. And to do that, arguing doesn't work.
And Christy's in her mid-20s now and is still doing just fine in her relationship with her mom and dad. So,
well,
so it must have worked.
Well, okay. We've laughed because when she was 17, I don't think she thought we were the finest parents in the world. Uh-huh. I just heard her say, my parents are amazing. Yeah. And she was bragging about it. And I thought, wow, we sure got to be better parents 10 years later.
Right. We always get smarter as our kids
exactly.
get older.
Exactly.
That's for sure. Well, today we are talking about some keys to raising great teenagers. And of course, that is so very, very important for us because teenagers become adults. And we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, Jim, I want to push you a little bit on the issue of our kids becoming adults. You mentioned emerging adulthood just a few moments ago. I want to unpack that a little bit more and talk about why it's so very, very important for us as parents to really set the tone and to lead with love and purpose and authority as we're setting those boundaries for our kids so they will become adults. You're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns from the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. I'm Roger Marsh. Remember that you want to visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. Check it out. It's brand new, and we've been so excited about welcoming the new additions to our online resource center, but you can find all sorts of different materials. We've added several hundred more audio and video clips and tip sheets. There's great material that you can see. And the majority of it is absolutely, Jim, is it okay to say that it's free? I mean, there's
absolutely,
so much on the site is free at homeward.com.
You know, one of the things, Roger, that we did with this new website was we added video and audio clips. And so somebody can search a topic and they can find great stuff. And we did make it free. They got to buy the books if they
yes.
want a book, or they hopefully will want to bring a seminar to their church with lots of great speakers and communicators, like the Understanding Your Teenager seminar. But the truth is that most of the stuff on our website is free, and we're trying to come alongside parents. So I'm thrilled for this new website. Hope they'll come. They can also follow us at a Homeward Center for Youth and Family on Facebook.
Right.
And I'm even Twittering these days, so it's a new world here at Homeward.
Jim, I love getting your tweets because they always make me smile, and they're very, very practical, and you can get them through your Facebook, or you can get them if you're a Twitter follower, not a Twitter quitter, rather, but a Twitter stalker. So I encourage you to follow us through social media and learn more about the ministry of Homeward, especially as it pertains to teenagers. We're talking today about keys to raising great teenagers, and Jim's book, Teenology, just one of many resources that you want to get a hold of. My folks actually went out and got smartphones just so they could text their grandchildren, and that's one way that you can connect. If you want to raise great teenagers who will become responsible adults, you got to speak their language sometimes, and this is a way that you can help do that. At Homeward is here, as Jim mentioned, to equip you with those resources, and we can do so because of your prayers and faithful financial support. If you can give a gift today, you can do so through our online resource center, which is absolutely secure at homeward.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. We're here at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University in our studios here talking about keys to raising great teenagers. Jim, congratulations on Teenology. I know this is a book that took, what, 30 years to write?
You know, it didn't. It didn't take me 30 years of actual writing, but it has been kind of a culmination of my life work. And so I even wrote in the introduction, pretty much what if you look on the back, you see that I write other books, but this is a major piece for me, and I just am thrilled how it's come out.
Jim, you have a quote in the Teenology book that says, far too many parents have so weakened their discipline and boundaries that their kids just aren't willing to grow up. Talk about the relationship between the discipline and the boundaries that we set up for our kids when they're, especially in the teen years, and how that helps them actually move into the adult years.
Well, you know, they've got to learn responsibility. And part of the teen years is moving from dependence on your parents toward independence. We talk a lot about that here on the Homeward broadcast. But the responsibility factor oftentimes happens in the teen years. And so we have to help them make decisions. And we can't just control all of those decisions. So we have to kind of coach them along. And so they're going to make some decisions. They're going to fail at those decisions at times. And that may be their best learning experience. Mm. I mean, obviously, you don't want your kids to do horrible, horrible things. And we'd have to deal with a troubled teen in this book because there are kids who are making some very unwise decisions. But I think a healthy teenager is going to be one who is making most of the decisions on their own about certain things. It might be homework. It might be even clothes, things like that. And parents have to allow that a little bit. So you got to do some negotiation here. But give them some freedom. Hopefully within that time period of them making those decisions, they won't crash, but it's the only way to get them to be responsible as adults.
And that's more and more studies are showing that kids, as they move into college in the adult years, are having tougher times dealing with failure because they've done such a great job of finding things they're really good at and doing, right. you know, be honor student and whatnot. But then they don't have the capacity to fail
well,
forward.
Especially if their parents did it all for them.
Yeah.
I find the kid who doesn't do well in their 20s sometimes is because mom and dad did it all for them. Mm. I mean, mom and dad continued to make the bed. Mom and dad did the homework instead of the kid doing the homework because they wanted him to get to a good school, and then he gets to the good school and can't do the work because mom and dad's not there to finish the project every night or to nag them through it. So I find that really in the love and sanctuary and support of a home in the teenage years, if they learn some of the basic issues of responsibility, they're going to do a lot better in those in the 20-somethings. And we've been worried. We're watching the 20-something years right now, and we're worried about some of the unwise decisions that kids are making. And I think part of it's because they were never able to be coached through this because we were still controlling.
Mm-hmm. When you started in youth ministry, the conventional wisdom, as you mentioned in the last segment, was adolescent development was between 13 and 18. Most of the studies were saying by the time a kid reaches 16 years of age, that's pretty much it. I mean, they're going to have a few more, you know, physical changes, but pretty much developmentally they're done. New studies now are saying, hey, it may not be 16.
It's brain issues. Yeah. You know, again, when I was taught in the 1970s in graduate school, it was that the brain pretty much was finished growing. Now we know it's finished growing at about age 24.
Instead of 16.
Right. Yeah. And one of the scary things is that the frontal cortex of your brain is partly responsible for making wise decisions. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you start going, wait a minute. So that's why my 17 or 18 year old is on top of the car, you know, driving down the street, you know, saying I'm on the top of the world or something
surfing,
fall off.
Yeah.
But sometimes that also means unwise decisions about drug and alcohol abuse, unwise decisions about sexual promiscuity, just relationships in general. I don't want to scare parents with that. But the fact is brain is in progress through those teenage years, not ending. And with that, it means, you know, parents' information sometimes is golden for them to help them set some of those boundaries for their kids and establish some behaviors that otherwise the kids may, you know, fall off the roof. One of my daughters I see with her friends standing on our roof, and I call out to her, Christy, why are you standing on the roof? And she said, I just wanted to see what it was like.
Oh,
well, you know, it's dangerous, and our roof isn't exactly the easiest roof to get onto. But, you know, in her mind, she just wanted to experience something new and fresh and different. And I said, let me help you get down from the roof, and please don't go back up on the roof
Seriously.
Again. But, you know, that's kind of the teenage mindset. I'll try it because I want to experience it.
Well, and not only that is that a common teenage mindset, but let's talk for a moment about the influence that peer pressure or positive peer influence, negative peer pressure has on kids. I think sometimes as parents, our kids move into that world of middle school, high school, the teen years, and we're really caught off guard because our generation of parents has done such a good job of kind of being more involved. I don't want to say we're all best friends with our kids, but we're a lot friendlier with our kids than our parents were. And so we kind of think, we've got this, you know, we're part of the circle. But then the peer pressure comes in and says, hey, Christy, let's go stand on the roof. Wouldn't that be fun? And
well, she, you know, there is peer influence. I'd say it's one of the top three issues for teens. They're influenced by their peers. And we always talk about the negative side. And that is right. We need to be careful. We need to help our kids make good and right and wise decisions because the friends that they hang around with, they're going to kind of do.
Yep.
So, you know, there is a peer pressure, but there's also positive peer influence. And so, again, that's why we've got to help our kids make these right and wise decisions. That's why I'm big on youth ministry and church. That's why I'm big on kids being in sports and band and choir and all that kind of stuff, because they're going to be around other kids who hopefully are making some good and right decisions. But
now, you said band and choir for my benefit, didn't you?
I did, because you are a band and choir. You're a band and choir geek.
That's true.
You know, Ben, our sound engineer, he's a, you know, musician. So I figure I'm just in with the bunch of you geeks, and I love you.
Well, we love you too. Today on Homeward, we are talking about Teenology, the brand new book from Dr. Jim Burns. It's The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. And, you know, we talk about the emotional upheaval that happens with kids during this time. And one area, especially for those of us who are in Christ following homes, is the fact that a lot of kids are going to go through a season when it doesn't matter where they are in their faith journey in terms of rock solid, really involved, kind of there. They're going to go through a season when they're going to start questioning it a little bit. It's going to look like they're pulling back. Some cases, they might actually do it. And you encourage parents not to freak out when that happens.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I think our initial reaction is when our kids say, I'm not sure I believe anymore, or, you know, they used to love Jesus with a passion and now they don't want to go to church or whatnot, is to actually freak out. And I think there have been times when Kathy and I worried about it. All three of our kids went through a little bit of that. But actually, they have to own their own faith. And I love the fact that kids are developing their relationship with God oftentimes in those teenage years, you know, they probably, if they've been raised in that Christ-following home that you mentioned, they probably did become a Christian, you know, younger. But then through those teenage years, when you're going through the experimental phase, you're also experimenting with where your belief is. I often say that they sometimes have to even disown your faith to own their own faith. That's part of what we call faith development. And so it's important for us as parents to continue to have dialogues, continue to have faith conversations with our kids, and not be too upset if our kids start throwing questions out, but help them even learn to kind of doubt their doubts, if you would.
As you were describing that process, Jim, I was thinking about a good friend of mine when we were in elementary school and middle school. His dad had a Honda 90 motorcycle. Well, I guess a motor scooter. And he was always working on it, and the dad was, and the son used to watch. And then at one point, I came over to his house one day, and he completely disassembled the motorcycle. And I said, Mike, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to put it back together. And as you were talking about that, and he did, he put it back together and went riding down the street. And I thought, as you were just describing that, I was thinking about him. That's kind of what our kids have to do with the, I mean, they're going to church and they have faith experiences largely because of our influence, but at some point they have to kind of take it apart and put it back together again so that it makes sense for them.
That's right. And parents have to be patient with that. Now, at our home, we said as long as you live in the home, then our church worship experience is a part of it. And we actually are going to encourage you to be a part of a youth ministry experience. One of our daughters ended up not going to our church, but went to Young Life. And that was fine. I actually would have loved for her to be a part of our church, but she felt better at Young Life. And so we had to make the decision that that was okay. And again, there were times when they didn't want to go and we had to have a little arm twisting. But you help your kids continue to make spiritual decisions by inviting Christ into the home and by having faith conversations that are not just preachy, but you know, where you're kind of dialoguing with kids and know that today they may believe and tomorrow they may not. That's what the teenagers are. The next day they may feel called in the ministry. So again, you keep it there, you keep it present. I think kids learn, especially in the teenage years, a lot about their faith when they're around other friends who also have faith. So I that's why I'm going right back to what I was saying. I encourage, you know, kids going on retreats. I encourage kids going to camp, things like that, because I think it'll enhance their faith, especially in the teenage years.
Well, during the teenage years is a time when a lot of parents feel as though that the relationship with the kids is just really out of control. And I wanted to, we're coming up on the end of the segment. This is part one. Of course, we're going to have another conversation about this on the next edition of the program. But I want you to close by talking about a quote that you have from Bill Hybels that talks about his encouragement to pastors, to church leaders. And does this apply to parents too? He says, invest 50% of your time in yourself. Talk about, does that help parents?
Big time. Basically, one of the themes of teenology for parents is stay calm, get as emotionally healthy as you can, work on your own spirit, and then get ready for what's about to take place. Because for most parents, I would say the teen years is kind of a roller coaster experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the parents are being emotionally healthy, if they're working on their marriage, if they're married, if they're working on their own spiritual life, if they have replenishing relationships around them, oh, they're going to do a much, much better job through the teen years because they'll have strength. So when Bill Hybels says, invest 50% of your leadership time on yourself, that's not selfish. That's just healthy self-care. And it's a great way to close it because I want to encourage parents today, if they do have a teenager, that, you know, it just isn't easy. So get as healthy as you can. Get as emotionally healthy as you can. Work on your own marriage. Work on your own spiritual life. And then, hey, the result is going to be that that's going to be even more effective for your kids as time goes on.
It's very, very true that kids are kind of wet cement and they're going to make their own decisions. And ultimately, we as parents are going to have to take the, you know, hands off the rein and let them, you know, sink or swim with some of their own decisions. But the more that we can do in terms of modeling and imprinting when they're young, and even during those teenage years when they're just weird, it's important for us to be as proactive as we possibly can and never underestimate the value and power of prayer in our lives. Good conversation today here on Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking about some keys to raising great teenagers. We'll continue this conversation on the next edition of the broadcast. Remember, Jim has a book called Teenology. He also has another book called Confident Parenting. Put the two of those together and you will find tips that can definitely help you and your spouse or your former spouse if you're co-parenting in a single parent situation. These resources can help you. More about them at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.